Lord can turn anything and everything around. Before we sing one song, can we just give God a hand of praise? Can we just go ahead and usher his presence in? God, we thank you. Lord, we love you. God, we honor you. Listen, how many of us believe that the Lord can turn anything and everything around? Oh, come on. How many of us really believe that the Lord can turn any situation, any circumstance, any hardship, he can turn it around? Do you believe that? Lift up this song with us this evening as we worship.
God turning around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Whatever it is in our way, we can speak to it and command it to be moved. Hallelujah. Let's worship together. So why would I worry when giants come calling mine? God is so much bigger than troubles I face. So why would I hunger for power or riches or fame? My God is so much better than all of these things.
Here we go.
So I won't be shaken.
So I'll speak to the mountain.
How many of you know there's nobody like Jesus? There's nobody bigger. There's nobody stronger. Come on, there's nobody greater. Come on, let's lift up a praise this to the King of Kings, the one who is seated on high, the one who has power to save and heal and deliver, the one in whom is every good gift. Come on, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, sing it bigger. Sing it, sing it, sing it. Hallelujah.
Stronger, greater.
God, we thank you for what you're going to do. We ask that you would open up our minds, Lord, to receive your truth tonight and to learn from you in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's give God one more big hand of praise. Thank you, worship team. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here tonight. Are you glad to be among the body of the believers tonight? Well, we are continuing our series on the spiritual gifts. Thank you, Rico. Come on, how many of you appreciate Rico? Let's give him a big hand. Tonight, we're going to continue our series on the spiritual gifts. And we've been covering some foundational work. Tonight, we'll get into a more specific category. Pastor Wallace is still away, getting some rest and relaxation. Tonight he is ministering in the Outer Banks. And so I have the privilege of speaking to you about one of the gifts tonight, and that is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Spiritual gifts are an essential part of the life of the believer. They are something that God has given us in order to help us in the Christian walk, and they are a blessing to the one who has the gift. They're a blessing to the one who operates in the gift. They're also a blessing to the one whom the gift is used for. So when I am operating in the gift of prophecy, it's a blessing to me because God is using me. He's giving me purpose. He's doing something through me that gives me a sense of fulfillment. And he's blessing the person who's receiving the word, who's being prophesied over. And the gift is a gift. It's a gift. It's not an obligation. It's not a burden. It's something that God has given to us that is to be enjoyed. It's a good thing. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above. And so we operate in the gifts because they're a good thing. They're a good thing. And the Bible says to earnestly desire the gifts. And so it's okay to desire the gifts. We want to always keep our relationship with God forefront. That's the most important thing. That's why we live. That's why we exist, is to know God and to love him. And in the context of that relationship, he gives us good gifts that we use to bless others. And so I want to say a couple more things about gifts in a general sense before I jump in. And that is that all of the gifts are part of a larger picture. We are part of one body, one God, one Lord, one baptism. There's a scripture about that. We are one body. We operate in unity, and we are many members. We all have a part to play. So my gift may not necessarily be your gift, and your gift may be different from somebody else's gift. But as we come together, like gears and cogs, they fit. We fit together in unison, in harmony, to operate and to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish as a community and as a church. Does that make sense? And that's what I mean in one sense, but there's also another sense in which each gift can benefit another. And you're not limited to one gift. You know, some people have multiple gifts, or some people, even in the natural, are multi-talented. They sing, they dance, they do this, they do that. And so as you operate in one gift, it can actually help you another. A simple example is the gift of tongues. And we're going to go briefly to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. That's 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. And I want to show you how tongues is important, and it can actually help you with all the other gifts. And you'll notice the first thing it says is pursue love. Pursue love. Like I said, love is foundational to everything. We always want to operate on a basis of love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Now let me pause right here. The nice thing about what we're doing in this series is that we're offering a teaching, and so we can stop, we can explain, and we can dissect the scriptures that we're reading. And so this particular verse is talking about a particular use or a particular manifestation of tongues. There are different kinds of tongues in the Bible. There are tongues that are a known language, and so you may speak in another language that you've never learned, which may be Spanish or French or Japanese or some other language that you've never studied. God will miraculously give you that language, maybe just for that moment or maybe for a longer period of time. Then there are tongues that are a message to other people that are not understood. They're not a natural language, and then they're interpreted using the gift of tongues, which is mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. Okay? That's two types. And then there's this third type that we're reading here. This is the prayer language. This is when you are communing with God, and you're praying to Him, and you're uttering mysteries in the Spirit. And as we're about to read, it edifies you. It's for you. And so we have to keep this in mind. Some people get uncomfortable when we start talking about tongues, and they try to limit the gift, and they put all kinds of boundaries and religious language around it that's not actually true. And so I want to make that clear as we're reading through this passage, that you have that context. There are three kinds, there are three manifestations of tongues, and this is only one of them, okay? Are we clear? All right. For one who speaks in a tongue utters mysteries in the Spirit. Verse 3, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself or herself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want all of you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. So both gifts are great. Paul even says, I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. So tongues is really important. And so what he's saying here is not diminishing tongues, but magnifying prophecy. He's saying tongues is extremely important, and prophecy is that much more important. Does this make sense? So the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. This is a line that I want to get to. As you build up yourself, It enables you to operate in other gifts and to be successful in other areas of your life. So as you edify yourself, then you're preparing yourself to go out and do something else, right? So if you want to be stronger, you get in the gym and you run and you lift weights and you eat healthy and you do things to take care of yourself. And as you take care of yourself, it actually strengthens you to be able to help others. Have you ever been on an airplane and they always give you that little speech before you take off and they say, in the unlikely event of an emergency and a drop of cabin pressure, a mask will fall from the ceiling. Please place your own mask on yourself before helping others. Why? Because if you're not breathing, you're not going to be much good to anybody else, right? So we want to edify ourselves with the gift of tongues, okay? This is one gift that helps you with all the others. And as you edify yourself with tongues and then you begin to operate in prophecy, prophecy builds up the church. Prophecy helps others. And so that is really important to understand. Another easy example is one spiritual gift, depending on, there are three or four main lists in the scripture. One of them talks about leading. And another gift is serving. And then in one of the lists, it actually uses this word for leading that has this sense of giving aid, of helping, of managing, of caring for, of stewarding, protecting, in the way that a shepherd protects the sheep and takes care of the sheep and leads the sheep and helps them know where to go. And so as you look at these three different words, these two different words for leadership and then the third word, service, you realize that if you serve, if you give the gift of serving, it actually helps you to be a better leader. Does that make sense? So we want to be better leaders, and so operating in one gift helps us in the other. So the more that you operate in any of the gifts, it's going to help you in all the others, okay? So again, don't limit yourself to just one thing. It's important to be generous, which is one of the gifts. It's important to serve, which is one of the gifts. It's important to pray in tongues. It's important to do lots of things because they help you grow in all the other ways. Now, you learn how to operate in the gifts by getting to know God's presence. You learn to operate in the gifts by getting to know God's presence. A gift is something that can be used at any time. If I give you a watch, and let's say it's your birthday, I give you a watch for your birthday, and then I say, all right, this watch is yours, but I want you to let me hold on to it. And then when you need it, then you can come and ask me for it, and I'll let you use it then. That would be very strange. I mean, what kind of gift is that? A gift is something that's yours, and you put that watch on your wrist, and anytime you need, you can check the hour, and you can know what time it is, right? That gift is in your hand anytime you want to access it. It's the same way with spiritual gifts. You have the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, words of knowledge. At any moment, you can tune in to the Spirit, and you can begin to access that gift and use it to bless somebody else. It's a gift. It's a gift. And we can't manipulate God. We can't control God. But you know what? God freely gives. He freely gives us the gift. That's part of what it means to be a gift, right? And so the gift is something that you can access at any time, but you learn to use the gift. An easy way to learn the gift is to get familiar with the giver, right? We want to become familiar with the giver because in his presence, everything just becomes a little bit easier. In his presence, there's something called the anointing. It's sort of the radiation, if you will, that comes from his presence. It's like the heat that comes from him. It's the oil that comes from him. It's the fragrance. There are lots of ways that the Bible describes the anointing in God's presence. When you put on a nice cologne or a sweet perfume, in fact, Esther is a great example. It says when she was preparing for the king, before she ever got to meet the king, she had to go through months and months of preparation. And she bathed herself in perfumes and in oils, and so that whenever she stepped into a room, you knew she was there because you could smell that fragrance. There was something that she carried. The fragrance was not her. I'm going to say that again. The fragrance was not her, but it rested on her. It came from her. And when she was near, you knew it because you could smell the fragrance that was coming from her. You could smell the oils that were coming from her. The anointing. Anointing literally refers to oil. It refers to smearing oil. That's why when we anoint, we use oil. Okay? And so the anointing is that fragrance of God's presence. It's that thing that lights up the room. It's that thing that just makes everything so much easier. His power is in it. His love is in it. It's what emanates from him. And so you want to, as you learn how to operate in the gifts, the best way to do it is to begin to become familiar with God's presence and with God's anointing. And you do that by getting in worship. You do that by getting in the Word and just becoming familiar with His presence. And in the community of the believers on a Sunday morning, this is what you should be doing during worship. Worship is not just singing a song. They're not just words. Worship is the opportunity to tune in to God, to connect with Him in a very real way that begins to manifest His presence and His fragrance, His anointing, His essence, who He is. That power begins to flow through the room, and that's what we do as a community. So the anointing, what it does is it helps you to cultivate the gift. It's like putting you in a hospitable environment, just like when you put a plant in a greenhouse. It's so much easier for a plant to grow in an environment that is made for that plant, like an incubator. It speeds up the process. But there are also times when you need to put that gift to the test, when you step out and you take a risk. Right? You go out on the street, as it were, and you take the presence of God that is in you when you don't feel any anointing, when you don't feel any goosebumps, when you don't feel that sweet feeling you get when your favorite song is on. You step out in faith. Why? Because you have a gift. You have a gift. You don't need to feel it. You just need to have faith and believe that the gift of God is in you, and the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. He doesn't take them away. So whether you're here on a Sunday morning singing your favorite song, or you're in a place where the name of God is not even mentioned, that gift is operating in you, and you can access it at any time. So let's jump into prophecy. Prophecy is something that we see throughout the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Some folks will try to limit it to just the Old Testament, but I don't know what Bible they're reading, because it's in my New Testament, right? And it never says that prophecy is for a certain period. It never says that prophecy stopped happening. We are still living in the age of the New Testament. We're still living in the last days. This is the dispensation that we're in. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, he started a period of history, a new age in history, in which is called the last days, and that's where we are. So if you look in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you'll see prophecy operates in many ways. And if we put them into two broad categories, simply because of our popular imagination of what prophecy is, we could say that prophecy can be foretelling, which is to say telling something that's saying something that's going to happen in the future before it happens. You know what that thing is, and then you sort of predict, as it were, what's going to happen. And then the other kind of major category of prophecy is simply speaking the words of God on behalf of God. Really, that's what all prophecy is. It's simply speaking on behalf of God. It's saying the words that he wants to say. It's communicating a message to his people. And so in a sense, whenever the pastor gets up to preach, he's prophesying. Because he's studied the word, he's prayed, or she has prayed, and she's gotten a word from God, right? It's a word for the community, and a sermon on Sunday, even what I'm doing right now. This is a type of prophecy because I am declaring the word of God for the community, for the hearers. But we often imagine people like Jonah, right? We imagine people like Isaiah. And these were people who said, this is going to happen. This judgment is going to happen. Or this good thing is going to happen. And often, prophecy can be conditional. In the case of Jonah, it was repent or else God is going to destroy the city. And what happened? The people repented, so God did not destroy the city, right? So prophecy always has a purpose. There's always a purpose, and it can be conditional. When the Lord spoke to Joshua, there were many times when he went out to fight a battle, and God assured him beforehand, I will give them into your hand. He gave him confidence that he needed to go into battle and to fight the fight. So this was a prediction of something that was going to happen, and it also had a purpose of giving Joshua and the nation of Israel confidence. So the purpose can be calling someone to repent and to get right with God. It can be giving somebody confidence and encouraging them. Those are two Old Testament examples. And then in the New Testament, there's an example of a man who gave Paul a word when Paul was preparing to go to a certain city. And Paul was determined to go there. And a prophet came to him, and he said, he took a rope, I believe it was. He took a rope, and he bound his hands, and he said, this is what they will do to the man who goes to this city. I'm paraphrasing here. In other words, he was warning Paul, if you go to this city, you're going to end up in prison. But Paul was determined, and he went anyway. And so that was another way of encouraging Paul, but it also served as a warning. And so there are various purposes for which God allows us to say what's going to happen in the future, right? It's not just, ooh, let me look at my crystal ball and tell you something that's going to give you goosebumps just for fun. Prophecy is fun. The gifts are fun, but they have a purpose, and they are meaningful and important, and they are weighty and heavy. An example of forthtelling is when Nathan the prophet came to King David, and he operated in a major function of prophets in that time, which was to go before kings and to bring the message of God. And when David sinned, Nathan came and confronted David and rebuked him, and he called David to get right with God. Samuel gave King Saul wisdom and guidance, and he directed him in what he should do. Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go. He brought a message from God. And so these are examples of speaking on behalf of God and operating in the office of the prophet, which has to do with government and with kingdom. And that's all I can say about that in the short amount of time that we have. But I wanted to give you just a little bit of context of the history of prophecy, and then I also want to say that it is something that we have access to today. The office of the prophet still operates today, and the gift of prophecy still operates today because God has provided gifts to his children. In the Old Testament, often God focused on an individual, but in the New Testament, because of Jesus' death and resurrection and our union with him, and we're part of a body of believers, the gifts, the Bible says that he went to hell and he rose again and he brought gifts to men. He distributed gifts to human beings. And so the gifts have been distributed. It says, in the last days, your sons, plural, and your daughters, plural, will prophesy. You will prophesy. And so today, this is a gift that we get to enjoy. And today, it's something that we use to encourage and to upbuild and to comfort, according to what we just read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. So as you grow in the gift of prophecy, and I hope that you will desire this gift, and I hope that you will seek to grow in this gift, a good place to start is to say, what's encouraging? Listen for what's encouraging. Listen for what's comforting. As you listen to God's voice and you discern what God is saying to you and the message that he's possibly giving you for another individual, listen for the encouragement that comes from the Spirit. In fact, one name for the Holy Spirit is the helper. In Greek, the paraclete, the helper, the comforter, the encourager. And so as the Holy Spirit moves in you, he can use you to encourage others. That is such an easy, safe, fail-proof way to begin to grow in prophecy. If you tell somebody, man, you know what? God loves you. You're not wrong. God loves you. If you say, man, God has a plan for your life, you know what? It doesn't matter who you say that to. You're not wrong. And it may be that that's exactly what that person needs to hear in that moment. And God can use prophecy in that way. There are levels of prophecy. And as you start out, just start basic. Start easy. Just take a step. And as you step out more and more, you will learn how to hear God's voice in that way. And you'll begin to take greater and greater risks as you learn how God is using you. Does that make sense? Are we okay so far? Yes. All right. Y'all are quiet, but I think it's because you're thinking. Is that right? Are we thinking? Are our wheels turning? Okay, I hear a lot of amens. Praise God. All right. So that's one parameter that I want to give you as you begin to step out in this gift. Do things that are encouraging. Another parameter, in other words, another framework, okay, ground rules, if you like that term, is that all prophecy is biblical. All prophecy is biblical. I have a friend who likes to say, you cannot out-prophesy the Word of God. You cannot out-prophesy Scripture. And so if somebody comes to you and gives you a prophetic word, and that word contradicts the written Word of God, the Bible that we study, then that prophetic word that person has given you is not truly a prophetic word. It's not truly a word from God, because God will never contradict himself. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There is no contradiction within him. God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth, and the truth is one. So prophecy is always in alignment with Scripture. Prophecy never changes Scripture. There's a movement today that says that, oh, this Scripture was for then. And there's actually a couple of movements that say this, and they're at polar opposites of the spectrum. But there are movements today that say that this Scripture was for then, and actually it was just for then. And we can reinterpret Scripture to mean something else now. And we can sort of, they wouldn't say it this way, but essentially they're rewriting Scripture. And they're saying, based on what God is saying now, it changes what God said then. And we should listen to what God is saying now and not what he said then in his written word. And we know that's not true, amen? We know that God is the same yesterday and today and forever, and his word will never perish. Not a jot nor a tittle of this book of the law will perish. That's what Jesus said. Jesus fulfilled the word, but his words will never pass away. His words will never pass away. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 14, verse 17, it says, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. It says continue. In other words, you've been, and Paul is talking to Timothy here. He's saying, you've studied Scripture. You know Scripture. You've been taught by your mother and your grandmother. And you've been in church. You know the Word of God. Continue in that. Don't let somebody come in and change what you believe or sway you to the left or to the right. And then jumping forward to verse 16, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture, not some Scripture, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Scripture comes from God, and God's Word never changes. What am I doing? I'm prophesying to you as I preach. That's what this message is. It's a declaration from God, but I'm lacing it. I'm weaving it with the Word of God. Do you see how this is happening? I'm telling you something, and I'm showing it to you in Scripture. That's how prophecy functions. In fact, as you prophesy over an individual or over a group, it's very common for Scriptures to start popping into your mind. You may get up and go to work, and you may see somebody, and instantly a Scripture jumps in your mind. You know what you should do? You should probably tell them the Scripture. You should probably say it. That's another fail-proof way to step out and take a risk and learn how to prophesy. You quote Scripture. Because unless you quote it wrong, it's the Scripture, right? It's just the Bible. And that person can take it and do whatever they want to with it. Then it's on them. As a prophet or as someone who's operating in the gift of prophecy, the burden on you is simply to release the word. Just release it. What the other person does with it is on them. Once you've released that, it's no longer your responsibility. In fact, it's that person's responsibility, and depending on the situation, it becomes the pastor's responsibility. That's why sometimes when a prophet comes or a minister comes here and they give a word to somebody and they say, hey, call your pastor because I want to give you a word. Because the pastor is the one who shepherds you and guides you and helps you walk out the word that you've just been given, right? And the person who receives the word weighs the word. They test the word, because we're all human. We all make mistakes. We're all growing in our gifts. And so someone may give you a prophetic word, but then they may let their flesh creep into it, or they may let their mind creep into it, and not intentionally, not maliciously, but it can happen, right? And so you have to sift through the word to really test whether it's from God. In fact, there's a scripture where Paul says, let one prophesy and let the other prophets test the weigh the word, weigh what has been said. And that's a responsibility for the individual as well who's received the word. You want that word to be confirmed. If a prophet tells you, quit your job and sell your house and move to this other country, I would hope you wouldn't just do that the next day. I would hope that you would weigh that word, that you would wait for confirmation, that there would be a witness in your spirit, and that when you step out, you're not just doing it because some random person or even some person that you respect greatly told you to do it, but you're doing it with faith and with confidence because you know that God has spoken to you. Often when somebody gives you a prophetic word, it's not news to you. Often God has already been trying to say it to you, but you've been so hard of hearing that he has to bring somebody else to say it to you in person. Come on, that's an applause right there. You should write that down in your notes. I'm just kidding. But actually, write it down. I would hope that you actually get a witness and a confirmation in your spirit of what God is saying to you, because we all have a relationship with God. Because if you only depend on what other people tell you, then you have no relationship with Him. Imagine if you and your spouse only communicated through somebody else. And you're married, of course, right? I want to be specific. And you love your spouse, and you want to have a successful marriage, right? And you say to one of your kids, go and tell your mother that I said I love her. Or go and tell your mother this or that, that we need to do this or that, and you never communicate it, that would be a very strange marriage. But you know what? We're the bride of Christ, and we have a direct line of communication. And so we want to be communicating directly with him, and it's fine to receive a prophetic word. Don't hear this as condemnation. Prophecy is a gift. It's a beautiful thing. We want to operate in it. We just read about how important the gift of prophecy is, that we should be prophesying. We should desire that gift. We should seek to grow in that gift. But it's all in balance. All of the gifts operate together. And as I said earlier, it operates within a context of a loving relationship with God. Okay? So there should be a witness in your spirit, and there should be a direct line of communication between you and God. Prophetic words call you forward. They don't condemn you. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus paid for our sins. He's offering us grace and eternal life. And so a word of prophecy may call out sin. It may reveal something. It may call you to repentance, but it's not something that says you're the worst person in the world. It's not something that makes you feel like there's no hope. It's not something that just condemns you. It's something that maybe convicts you, but what conviction does is it calls you forward. Conviction happens in love. And this is something that you probably shouldn't start out trying to do. You probably shouldn't go around trying to call out people's sin. You know, I think Jesus said something about the splinter in your own eye or something to that effect. So God can use you in that way. But that's for later on, okay? Don't get caught up with doing that. Just start out easy. Start out basic. Start out encouraging, okay? I'm giving you lots of tips because I want you to actually do something with this. I don't want you to just learn what prophecy is. I want you to use it. That's what this whole series is about. That's why we're teaching on spiritual gifts, so that we can all begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. We're coming to a close here, and I haven't even touched the tip of what I wanted to share with you tonight. But I did want to go into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, just to highlight a few things about the gift of prophecy. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 1. If my technology will cooperate. The words of Jeremiah, excuse me, verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying. Now notice right here, the word of the Lord came. That's a weird way to talk about God speaking. That's a very strange thing to say. The word of the Lord came. Often when we talk about hearing God's voice, And hearing God's voice and prophecy, they're related. They're not necessarily the same thing, but they're related, okay? If you know how to hear God's voice, it's a lot easier to prophesy. And we can all hear God's voice because the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. We are his sheep. That's part of having a relationship. But as the word of God comes to us, as we hear God's voice, it comes in many forms. It can come as a voice in your head. It can come as words that you hear with your mind. Just as we read here, it's in verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then you can talk back because you're having a dialogue with God. Verse 6, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me. And then God responds, right? So there could be this back and forth, a conversation, words that are passing through your mind. It can be something that you hear in your inner voice. And it may even sound like your own voice, the voice of your mind, the voice that you hear in your head. This is why it's so important to know the Word of God. This is why it's so important to be able to discern what God is saying. And it's so much easier to discern what's God's voice, God's freshly spoken word, when you know the written word. In fact, when we talk about the word of God, there's two ways to talk about it. There's the logos, the written word, and then there's the rhema. The rhema is the freshly spoken word. It's the now word. It's when we take the logos and we apply it to a now situation. It's when the words on the page jump off the page and they come alive to you and they mean something specific for a specific situation. And God can use the written word to speak to you in a very unique way. Now, I will quickly say that as you study Scripture, it's important to understand context. It's important to understand what it meant then and what it means now and the purpose and the intent of that passage. But there's also the gift of prophecy that applies it to a specific situation in a specific way that is not for all time and all people and all places. Does this make sense? I will never forget years ago, there was a minister who came here. And he quoted a scripture from, I believe it's in the book of Joel, if I'm not mistaken. It says, it talks about 2 days and 3 days, and it says, on the third day I will raise him up. And that scripture was talking about a specific situation in that time for that people. But there was something about this scripture in this moment when this minister came to this church. And he said, we were having a series of three services, three nights of revival. And God put that word in his spirit, and he just knew that somehow something special was going to happen on the third day. And the best way to explain this is if you've ever seen the movie Transformers. If you've never seen it, it's about cars that turn into robots or robots that turn into cars or however you want to think about it. And that's not the point. But each robot, all of them can speak, actually, except one. Which one am I talking about? Somebody shout it out. Bumblebee. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. He's the yellow car and his name is Bumblebee. And Bumblebee communicates by playing whatever's on the radio. Not just whatever's on the radio. He can like turn to the station and to the specific song. And in a specific moment, he can play the song that conveys the emotion or the message that he wants to convey. Right? You know what? We have a radio and it's called the Scripture. We have a list of songs. We have a library and it's called the Bible. And we can flip to any page on the Scripture and say what God wants us to say in a given moment. Does this make sense? So we never want to twist the scripture or take it out of context, but we also want to make room for the gift of prophecy. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So as we come to a close, I want to encourage you to do something with this gift. It can come like words. It can come like an image in your mind. You may see something. As if we were to continue reading this passage, you would see that God says to Jeremiah, what do you see? In verse 11, what do you see? Jeremiah says, I see an almond branch. And the word for almond in Hebrew sounds like the word for to watch. And then the Lord quickly gives him the interpretation. It says, verse 12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. So God may put an image in your mind for you to then interpret. And you will, as you learn the gift and as you step out, you will learn the language that God has given you. Just like he gives you a unique tongue, a mystery to utter in the spirit, he can give you a unique language for operating in the gift of prophecy. And he can teach you the meaning of different symbols and different things. And he can communicate with you so much faster through images than he can by giving you words, spoken words. A picture paints 1,000 words. And so as soon as you see the image of an almond branch, you know God is watching over you. Or he's watching over his word to perform it. God will show you in the moment exactly how to apply that image and how to apply that word that he's given you. You can hear the word You can see the word. You can smell the word. You can feel the word. There's even ways in which you may feel a sensation in your body. You begin to feel heat in your hand, and you know that God's about to heal somebody. You begin to feel a pain in your leg, and you know that somebody in the room has pain in their leg. And now we're transitioning from the gift of prophecy into words of knowledge, which you'll hear about on another week. So, as we stand to our feet, step out in the gift of prophecy. Use all your senses, your ears, your eyes, your body. And then one more tip. Prophecy, one of the words that is used is the Hebrew word nafat. Nafat. And it means to drip. It means to drip. And that's an invitation for you to step out in faith. Maybe you feel like you have a word for somebody. You don't know exactly what it means. You have just a little bit. Just an image. And then you open your mouth and you speak it. You say it. And then as you open your mouth, God gives you more. And as you say more, he gives you a little bit more. And so the word, the prophetic word, drips. It flows forth. It comes to you. This is why we talk about it in strange ways. It comes in different forms, and it can come gradually. It may come pouring out like a waterfall instantaneously, or it may just drip. So, would you close your eyes? Would you lift your hands? And would you ask the Lord to begin to give you the gift of prophecy? Begin to ask him to begin to show you people to whom you can minister. You may go to work, you may go to school, you may be in the store, you may be at a gas station. You could be anywhere. You could be in church. In fact, I hope that some of you will exercise this gift before you leave tonight. Father, I pray right now that you would pour out the gift of prophecy on this group of people standing here tonight and those watching online. I pray that you would teach us how to operate in the gift. I pray that you would begin to give us dreams at night. Give us visions during the day. I pray that images would start coming to our mind. We'd start seeing scriptures, God, that you would begin to confirm the word, that you would pour it out, and that you would use us to bless others, Father. Use us to edify, to encourage, and to comfort, that we might build our church, even as the carpenter shop church. Father, we want to build people. We want to build up this church for your glory, because as we build up the church, we're building up people. And as we build up people, we're building up the community. Pour it out, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. If you want special prayer, I invite you to come forward. I would love to pray for you. If you need to go, please go. But thank you, and God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday. Come on, sing.